comes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, and today's verse is text 12. Tasmai Namaha, Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mam Vadanti Jagad Gurum. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagad Gurum. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagad Gurum. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagad Gurum. Please chant. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagadgurum. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagadgurum. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Maya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagadgurum. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Yan Mayaya Durjayaya Mangvadanti Jagadgurum. Vaishnavis. Okay, synonyms. Tasmai, unto him, namaha, offer my obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya, unto Lord Krishna. Dhimahi. Do meditate upon him. Yet, by whose? Mayaya. Potencies. Durjayaya. Invincible. Mam. Unto me. Vadanti. They say. Jagat. The world. Gurum. The master. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the supreme controller. Please repeat. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the supreme controller. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As will be more clearly explained in the next verse, the illusory potency of the Lord bewilders the less intelligent to accept Brahmaji, or for that matter any other person, as the supreme Lord. Brahmaji, however, refuses to be called this, and he directly offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Vasudeva, or Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, as he has already offered the same respects to him in the Brahma Samhita 5.1. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karnam. Translation, the Supreme Lord is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord, in his transcendental body, the ultimate cause of all causes. I worship that primeval Lord Govinda. End of translation. Brahmaji is conscious of his actual position, and he knows how less intelligent persons, bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, whimsically accept anyone and everyone as God. A responsible personality like Brahmaji refuses to be addressed as the Supreme Lord by his disciples or subordinates, but foolish persons, praised by men of the nature of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, feel flattered to be addressed as the Supreme Lord. Why such persons take pleasure in being addressed as God, or why such persons are addressed as God by foolish admirers, is explained in the following verse. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyachitishtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Sapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sajivam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Narada Muni, although he is powerful himself, he's a liberated soul, he can travel to the spiritual world, material, back and forth. Imagine, if you could go anywhere you want in an instant, how powerful you would feel. No need to get on the internet and book a ticket or call somebody, make a reservation. No, just, I want to go to see Lord Vishnu. Boom, you go. And then I want to visit Parvat Muni over here. Boom, you go visit Parvat Muni, like that. Anywhere he wants to go, he can go. And again, he doesn't have to take any vehicle. He's by his own power. He just travels, all the while strumming on his veena, Radhika Ramana. So if we had such power, just imagine the potency or the potential to become puffed up. We see in our own lives, we don't even have to look at others, just look at ourselves, how puffed up we feel when we have some little ability, talent, a few dollars in the bank. I can lift a few pounds. I feel like I'm some wonderful person. But even if we just look around in our own society, we see that comparatively, we're not really so great. There's usually somebody stronger, somebody taller, somebody smarter, somebody wealthier. But still we feel puffed up. Therefore, in English, there's a saying, every pauper is proud of his penny. And nowadays in Kali Yuga, people are so belligerent, they'll kill you for that penny. They'll kill you if you try to take their penny, and they'll kill you to take your penny. And people are so bewildered. So Narad Muni is not in that category, obviously. He's a liberated soul, but he's taking the humble position. He's trying to understand things as they are from his father, Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma himself, even though he's the most qualified, generally speaking, we're informed that the most qualified in terms of piety, intelligence, that's most qualified soul in each universe takes the role of Brahma. And if there's no such qualified soul, then the Lord himself expands and takes the position of Brahma. That's because it's a very important position. So Lord Brahma, again, very, very qualified personality, but he's also taking the humble position. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate. Namo, Namaha, obeisances. This is so important to pay obeisances to the spiritual master, to the Lord, to other Vaishnavas. It keeps us conscious of our position. So we shouldn't be too eager to give up that. I notice in my own character and certainly in other devotees that sometimes we give up that obeisances. Namaskaru, Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru, offer obeisances. Not just put your, Anjali Mudra and walk out. Prabhupada would not be happy by that. He wasn't even happy when devotees would just get down on their knees. He called it jackknife. What is this jackknife business? Because technically you're supposed to pay full dandavats every time you come before the spiritual master or before the deities. Prabhupada showed the example. When Prabhupada arrived in America, he was already 70 years old. And then he stayed on the planet for another 12 years, 82 years when he left. And up until the very end, practically, whenever Prabhupada came in, he would play full dandavats in front of the deities. But we're young men and women, and we feel we can just come in and go like this. Where are we getting that from? That's not our training. But we see those who, by culture, grow up with this. We see Narayani. Oh, we have our mother Narayani. Her back is bent over, but every time she comes in, she bows down. So who's in worse shape than Narayani? Anybody here? So what excuse do we have? Why do we just think we can come in and just go like this? That's not bona fide. That's not bona fide, and we should stop it. When you come in, pay full obeisances, or at least get down on your knees. Like I said, there's a story you can see in the Lilamrita. One devotee was serving Prabhupada, so he had to come in and out of the room constantly. So he got to the point where he was just doing on the knees. And Prabhupada said, what is this jackknife business? Prabhupada called the jack. No, you're supposed to pay full dandavats. So, Tasmai Namo. Lord Brahma is paying his obeisance to this Bhagavate unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we know, again from Shastra, that there are three categories of living beings. There's Vishnu Tattva, there's Shiva Tattva, and there's Jiva Tattva. And Krishna is the source of all of those tattvas. Everything expands from Krishna. So Lord Brahma knows this. That's why he wrote it in his Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the controller, Lord Brahma. We all have some control over something, some followers or disciples or some money or some children. But that control is not absolute and it's very, very temporary. Today, you're the father, and in a few decades, you become the dependent. Right? You can't move anymore, so now you're dependent on your children that you used to boss around to take care of you, to push you in the wheelchair, to take you for your medical appointments, whatever. So we have to stay humble. We have to stay humble. It's not that, you're going to be on top forever in the material world. It doesn't work like that. Even Brahma doesn't stay on top. We hear again from Shastra that if Lord Brahma doesn't qualify himself to go back to Godhead, then he comes back, and not necessarily as Brahma. He may fall down to a lower position. So, humility is the beginning of real knowledge. As we know from the 8th chapter, Krishna says, Amanittam Adambitvam, Ahimsa Shanti Rajavam. First, so humility and pridelessness, these are the beginning of real knowledge. Anybody who's puffed up, immediately you know this person is a rascal, a fool. Doesn't understand his or her real position. Just like I was having an exchange online with somebody, you know, obvious meat eater. So I told him, you know, I was talking about fish. I said, you know, so the fish have a right to live also. So he made some foolish arguments, and then he started name calling. So I said, look, I'll stop this. As soon as you start name calling, you know. But I told him, when the sinful reactions come, don't wonder why. You should know this because of your unnecessary slaughter of innocent creatures. This is why it's coming to you. So this is what's going on in society right now. So many sinful reactions are coming home to roost. And people wonder why. Why me? Why us? When it's happening to somebody else, I'm a little bit sympathetic. But I don't really care. But when it comes home to roost on my head, I get sick or I break a bone or I lose my money or whatever, then I'm wondering why. Why is this happening to me? It's actually a good question. But they don't want to hear the real answer. That's the problem. They ask the question, why? But they don't want to hear the real answer. When you give them the real answer, that's because of your past sinful activities and your ongoing sinful activities, which you should stop, they don't want to hear it. They make all kinds of arguments. Like Prabhupada talking to Cardinal Danielu about meat eating. He wanted to talk about higher spirit. Prabhupada said, no. First of all, why do you kill the animals? But, you know, we have to eat and the children, and is it okay to kill the... Prabhupada said, no, cow is your mother. You take milk from her, and then you kill her. What kind of son are you? You know? So like that. They don't want to hear even the basics, even though they know in the back of their consciousness. They know it's wrong. All of them have pets, a dog or a cat or a goldfish or whatever. And if you go to their home and say, I'm hungry, can I kill your dog and eat it? They'll kill you or at least throw you out. But they think it's okay to kill the cow and eat the cow. So less intelligent, bewildered by the illusory energy to think that whatever they want for their sense gratification, that's okay. Don't interfere. I want to eat meat, don't bother me. I want to get intoxicated, don't bother me. Illicit sex, gambling, don't bother me. So we're not like that. We're getting our information from the Shastra that these things are wrong. The spiritual master... The duty of the spiritual master is not only to tell us what to do, but to also tell us what not to do. Yama niyama. This is the beginning of any yoga practice. What things that should be done and things that should be avoided. Things that should not be done. And clearly explain. Just like in the regular principles that we follow, it's clearly explained why we shouldn't do these things, even though it should be obvious. It should be obvious, again, like meat eating. It means an animal has to be killed. Why? I told this gentleman while we were having our conversation, you have enough intelligence to grow so many edible things that don't have eyes, that don't run away from you, that don't bleed. But he couldn't get it. He didn't want to get it. Again, they're intelligent enough to understand, but they don't want to get it because it means a radical lifestyle change, which they don't want to undergo. But if you don't do that, if you don't radically change your lifestyle here in the material world, then you're condemning yourself to stay in the material world and suffer. It's not that you just stay in the material world and have a party. You stay here and you suffer. Birth, death, old age, and disease. You suffer the attacks of others. And it's going to get worse as Kali Yuga progresses. As people become more and more frustrated. Even when they're celebrating, like just what, yesterday or the day before the Lakers won the championship. And in their celebration, they're destroying stores and looting. And you know. So this is ignorance. This is how ignorant people become. Even when they have something to celebrate, they become destructive. What to speak of? When they're angry and they have nothing to celebrate. So we are here to learn from this sampradaya, beginning with Lord Brahma, coming down through Narad Muni, whatever Lord Brahma taught to Narad Muni, he passed on to his disciples. Like here, Lord Brahma is telling him that I'm not the supreme. Krishna is the supreme. So Narad Muni said the same thing. Earlier on in the first canto, he was approached by Vyasadeva and he told him the same thing. Idami Vishwam Bhagavan Vaitaro. That Yato Jagatstanam Niroda Sambhava. Tadi Swayam Vedavam Tamite. Padesham Acham Bhagavat Pradarshitam. He said, the Supreme Lord, He is Himself the cosmos. Not just that he's the source of the cosmos, but he is himself the cosmos. Which means it's something for thought, food for thought. That when you're dealing with anything within the cosmos, whether it's another person or any other living entity or even inanimate objects, you should see them as being Krishna. And that way you treat it properly. It's Krishna's energy, and Krishna can appear at any time out of in his energy. It's not that he's restricted to Goloka Vrindavan. He's in Goloka, but at the same time, he's distributed everywhere. Maya sarvamidam tatam jagat abhyakta murtina, he says in the ninth chapter. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All living beings are in me, but I'm not in them. So Krishna is explaining that this entire universe is his, and he's there. So when we're taking a hike in the mountains, or whether we're gardening, or distributing books, treat the book like it's Krishna. That's why we're out there, to distribute it, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's words. And treat the person that you're dealing with, we know maybe he's not the Supreme Lord, he could be. Krishna could appear before you as a book buyer, just to bewilder you, and just to see how you deal with him. Brigapati Prabhu, are you dealing with me properly? He may appear before you, just to test you. We know he's done that. He's appeared many, even up here we have that painting of him appearing like Abhimanyu. He took the form of Abhimanyu just to bewilder Abhimanyu's mother and not get chastised by her. Because he was, you know, technically, Brother Rani is married to Abhimanyu, but, you know, she belongs to Krishna. Just like here in this verse, we have that word, dhimahi, meditate. So what does it mean to meditate? If you look in the dictionary, it says to concentrate the mind, either in silence or accompanied by chanting for some religious or spiritual reason, or just to relax. But the pure devotees, their minds are always meditating on Krishna. They're always in samadhi, thinking about Krishna. Never for a moment do they stop. Mankata, how's that go? Machita, madgata, prana, bodayanti parasparam. Kathayasya, tamam, nitya, tushyanticha, romanticha. That the thoughts of the pure devotees, they dwell in me. And their lives are surrendered to me. Now it's interesting, in the word for word, madgata prana, proper translates as constantly engaged in service to Krishna. But that's no different from being surrendered to Krishna. Who can surrender to Krishna if they're not constantly engaged in service to Krishna? It's not possible. So constant engagement in service is the beginning. Prabhupada says in that purport that the beginning stage of devotional service, one derives pleasure from the service itself. One gets transcendental pleasure from the service itself. But when one gets to the perfectional stage, when one becomes a pure devotee, then one is always, it doesn't matter, it's not that you're only in pleasure when you're on the altar serving or when you're distributing books, or you're always experiencing pleasure because you're always concentrated on Krishna. Whatever you're doing, or even if it seems that you're not doing anything, sometimes the devotees sit silently, and somebody may not understand that they're now inward. They're enjoying everything inwardly. Sometimes we see our Prabhupada, he was chanting Jai Radha Madhava, and then he went into, just stopped. So the devotees are constantly engaged, the pure devotees, constantly engaged in reciprocal dealings with Krishna, internally. Externally, it may not be apparent. It may seem sometimes they're just walking, or they're just eating, or whatever, but they're constantly in that focused portion of yoga. Yoga begins, as we said earlier, yamniyama, asana, pratyahara, pranayama, dhyana, dharana, and then ultimately samadhi. So the pure devotees are always in samadhi. They're always fixed on Krishna. They're always experiencing the highest pleasure by meditating on Krishna in that way. And they're serving Krishna. And service means everything, hearing, chanting. Chanting especially stressed, hearing especially stressed, and that's what we're meant for. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant to generate persons who are concentrated on this hearing, chanting process. And when you derive pleasure from that hearing and chanting, naturally you want to give it to others. You don't have to be prompted to preach. Your life becomes preaching because you're always willing and ready to share Krishna with others. That's what preaching means. Preaching doesn't mean, you know, like in other You know, they pick up the book and you believe this book or you go to hell, and they're ready to. Not like that. The prophet said we should deal with the public in a friendly manner. Krishna, the master, declares himself to be the friend of all. Therefore, the servants have to be friendly. You're dealing with Krishna's property. Or sometimes you may be dealing with Krishna himself and not know it. You can appear like that. We know the story also. Lord Shiva does that. Sometimes he comes and he walks around like an ordinary person. And he walks down the street and people don't understand. So he and his wife were in disguise like that, walking down, and some beggar was begging. Lord Shiva was begging. She said, no, give him something. So Lord Shiva manifested a watermelon and gave him the watermelon. And then kept going. And that guy was such a rascal. What is this watermelon? And he sold it for a few cents or whatever. But inside the watermelon was full of jewels. If he had taken the time to appreciate or open it up so he could offer it to Krishna, then he would have seen the jewels inside. But so it's like that. You know, we generally try not to give people money because we know what they're going to do with it. Go buy some cigarettes, go buy some liquor or whatever. But it was pointed out that sometimes Bhakshila Bhaktisiddhanta would give money to beggars. But practically speaking, I guess in those times, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, such persons, it was probably very rare that they would take money and go to a liquor shop. They actually probably would take the money and go buy something to eat. But nowadays, you know, there are so many crazy people walk up and down the street. You give them a dollar, you know what they're going to do with it. So we would much rather give prasadam. Of course, we have to be careful with that even, because you don't want to habituate them to hang out around here. You know, they're so crazy. If they come around and you give them prasadam, then they just come around and make trouble. A few nights ago, right, some guy was out here breaking glass and spreading glass in front of the temple. You know, they're so crazy. It's just Kali Yuga. We have to be very, Prabhupada warned us when he was here, don't be lazy. Finish up your business. Go back to home, back to Godhead, because it's just going to get worse. And the situation is made worse by the fact that we don't have genuine, qualified leaders. They themselves are just bigger versions of the crazy people on the street. So we have to take shelter of this process of Krishna consciousness and become perfect, go back to home, back to Godhead, and as far as we can, spread these teachings that have been given to us, coming down from Krishna through Rama to Narada, all the way through our Srila Prabhupada. And we are meant to give those same teachings to others. Okay, we'll stop here. Maybe time for one question or a comment before we pass on to breakfast. Okay, Prem Sankirtan Das. Battery's not working? All right, I can repeat the question. What is the question? That's not the real standard. The real standard, as Prabhupada displayed, was that you're supposed to. Not if a spiritual master tells you, okay, come on, this is important, stop, just get it done. That's a different story. But technically, again, you're supposed to pay your obeisances every time you come before the spiritual master or before the deities. But we see that sometimes people don't even do it the first time. You're saying first time and then maybe not. A lot of times they don't even do the first. They come through the door and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. They're not ill. They're not invalid, they're not too old, but they still just go like this. That's not our culture. Our culture is, and Prabhupada's shown, right here in this room, I was here in the 75, and Prabhupada would come in. Every time he came in, he would do full dandavas in front of each altar. Not just stand there and go like this. This is not good. We're getting lazy, and it's one of our enemies in Kali Yuga is laziness. We should know that. So whenever you find yourself sliding like that, becoming lazy about doing something that we should do, then you have to catch yourself. Get out of it. Snap out of it. Because it just becomes worse and worse and worse. Then you'll start coming in and not even bother to do that. You just walk in like it's your room. No, this is Krishna's living room. This is Krishna's living room. And he allows us to come in here and worship him. He says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta Madhyaji, which means worship me, Mam Namaskuru, pay your obeisances to me. Krishna says that in the Gita twice. Twice that verse appears, or slight variation. So why is he doing that? Why is he stressing that? Because it's good for us to do that. Otherwise, we again fall into this mentality that we're too important to bow down. That's the real underlying thing. I'm too important to bow down. Not that there's anything wrong with me. I am just too important to bow down. But we see those who are raised in that culture, like I gave Mother Narayani as an example. They're raised in that culture, so they bow down whenever they come in the room. It's inculcated in their persona. But most of us in the West, we don't grow up with that. So we get to the point where we just get too lazy. We can't be bothered. So that's not good. But if you're serving your spiritual master and the spiritual master says, you know, just get the job done, okay. Just like if you're coming in with a hot chapati. They used to make hot chapatis for Prabhupada. So if you're coming in with a hot chapati, you can't at that point. You just deliver it on his plate. You see? So you have to also use your common sense. Not that I'm bowing down and I drop the chapati on the floor and then I have to go back and make another one. No, you're making hot chapatis, bring it and put it on Prabhupada's plate. But in general, we make the excuses. It's not that the spiritual master gives us permission to stop paying obeisances. We make the excuses. It's too troublesome, I can't be bothered, like that. It's laziness. And that laziness will destroy your devotional creeper. Okay, Granth Sarasvati Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.